What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Preview Show, brought to you by Roughneck Scarves. I am Mike. Joining me this evening is Brian Weigel of Cincy Soccer Talk. We did sort of a combined show where he's going to sort of air his portion of it on the Cincy Soccer Talk feed. We're going to air our version on Mongols, so let's listen in and join in on the conversation.
So, Brian, I just have to say right off the bat, I really, really, really want to, for some reason, deep down, hate you guys. And I don't know why, but then you turn around and you do something like you did yesterday and you tweet out the GoFundMe page for our boy Kay Banjo and his family. And I can't hate you guys anymore. I mean, you guys do amazing things in Cincinnati as it is, but like, thanks for that. And I'm sure the whole Banjo family thanks you and everybody thanks you. It was an awesome gesture.
Yeah, actually, a lot of our supporters groups kind of found out about that and passed along the word to all of us. And, you know, we're one big happy soccer family here. And regardless if you make $1 million or a lowly paid player, we all want to look out for these guys. And so, I know it was this past weekend they lost their home to a fire. So hopefully we can raise a bunch of money and take care of them. I'll make sure to put the link to that GoFundMe page in the story and on our feed. So if people want to check that out and donate and help out a good cause, I'm sure the family would appreciate it.
Yeah, it was awesome. So a couple things that I wanted to pick your brain about here, and I know you have some stuff that you want to ask about as well. First off, the other big news that came out this week was you guys had your stadium announcement. So what all does this mean for those of us in Pittsburgh who have no idea what's going on? What went down and what does this mean for you guys?
Well, I'm sure, a couple years ago you guys opened a new ice hockey arena, and I'm sure it wasn't all peachy keen. You know, the Penguins are a big group up there, but you know, you always have your local, battles, your different factions, I'd say. And, so originally, our city council passed a measure back in November, I think it was 2017, for a stadium deal in Oakley, which is a northern part of Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a weird geographic area. The city Cincinnati boundaries make zero sense. There's like little cities inside the city. It's so weird. So they passed that because they knew they kind of had the support and the numbers to do so. But I think the whole time, now I'm putting words in the ownership's mouth, but I think they really wanted to build in downtown in the West End neighborhood, which is right next to the happening big entertainment area, what they call Over the Rhine, which is a rehabbed part of town, which is, you know, when you always see the photos of Cincinnati, if it's not the river, it's over the Rhine, you know, a bunch of pretty houses, a lot of German themes. And, they've been working real hard to get that part of town taken care of and built. And they had a councilman kind of switch his position, and we were able to get the support from city council to build it. We also had to work out a deal with purchasing the land for the stadium, which is partially a current high school football stadium that's used by six Cincinnati high schools. So they had to get the deal with the city of Cincinnati. They had to get the deal with local public schools. And, they're still trying to work out the bits and pieces to get all the what they call collective bargaining or community benefits agreements, together. But it looks, by all accounts, that the stadium's kind of done and dusted. Unless something really crazy happens, City of Cincinnati government is a super crazy place, so you never know. But it really looks like Jeff Birding, Carl Leonard III, and the ownership group is going to have just a stadium built in one of the most happening neighborhoods in the country. And I think it's going to be at one point, once they get it built, the optimum stadium situation for soccer in the country. So it's connected a lot of millennials. It's right in the downtown city limits. So, you know, when they bring in the Goodyear blimp, it's going to look all beautiful and everything. So it's pretty exciting.
So obviously congrats to you guys. That's fantastic news. Again, we're all one big soccer family, so I think seeing other teams get the opportunity to have their own soccer-specific stadium built for them is always a great thing. You mentioned the German influence. Now, is it true that you guys are also somewhat changing your name?
Fußball, with the sharp S, I think is what they call it, or soft, I don't know, but it looks like a B. But yeah. Fußball, of course, everybody's seen those horrible videos of when FC Cincinnati was announced. Kind of drew the ire of the entire soccer world with, you know, the horrible face paint and the knifey soccer lion and the football, you know, the Spanish football. So you had all these different elements that just didn't work together. And even the supporters right off the bat kind of revolted against all this. You know, we didn't love the logo. We didn't love the football because it didn't really represent it. It looked like we were just trying to stick out just to stick out, you know, something that American soccer clubs, you know, 5 years ago would do just to be cool. Real Salt Lake. But, you know, with the stadium, you know, going to be right pretty much in over the Rhine, was a huge German area town. The push since kind of day one, even before the club played their first game, was to honestly rebrand the club in the city's image. And there's huge, heavy German themes. Of course, we're always known for our skyline, but we're also known for our Geta, and we're known for, you know, all, there's so many German aspects. You know, we have the German Oktoberfest, and it's just kind of been something that a lot of supporters have kind of gotten behind, is trying to integrate more things about our city into the club. You know, you saw that with the Bavarian German diamonds in this year's kits. You've seen it with Die Innenstadt, with the Pride Norden, with Die Nordlowen. You know, a bunch of these soccer supporters groups coming out with German names. And it's just kind of felt natural for our club. Yeah, it comes off a little bit unique, but I think it's going to be a positive thing for our community. I think already you've seen the supporters, the general fans, really, really embrace it. Now, the general soccer media nationwide thinks it's not so cool, but, you know, it's about us, and we're proud of it.
You do you, man.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, but I think, you know, we were trying to rebrand. You have to kind of rebrand when you go. If you go into MLS, I'm not going to count my chickens before the roost, but you know, you have to, you know, make it your own when you go into MLS, or really even kind of if you really want to be your own, you got to take some risks like that. And I think it's going to be really, really, you know, supported by our community, and that's just kind of what matters here. Of course, it still keeps the name FC Cincinnati when it's all said and done. It's not FC United or VFW Knifey Lion, which I loved. Actually, I thought that was pretty funny. But so yeah, it's going to be interesting.
So, you know, I want to jump around here. I know you have a bunch of questions for me as well before we get into the player stuff, but I have on the agenda here a surprise question. You and I were on, you mentioned MLS, so this is what I'm going to bring up now. You and I were on the USL show really early this preseason. I want to say it was probably like January, and I had a bunch of technical issues where Comcast literally just shut down while we were on the show. So, you know, my question couldn't get asked and sort of left everybody with a cliffhanger. But my question is this. As a fan, why is it that you want to see FC Cincinnati move to MLS? Now, it feels like an obvious question, but let me just sort of fill in some blanks here, just from an outsider's perspective. Obviously, the ownership group wants to move to MLS because it means more money. It means, you know, you can buy more players, all of that. But from a fan's perspective, at least, you know, in the USL, the mentality is we love going to games that are, you know, full stadiums, have fantastic environments, have a team that is well supported, that is putting out a unique product every single year, has amazing rivalries that are growing. And it seems like from the outside looking in, you guys have all that. So from a fan's perspective, what is it that, or why is it that you guys want to see this team move to MLS?
Well, I think when you ask every different person, you're going to probably get a different answer. But mine really kind of boils down to the staying power is my key point. Even though you have, you know, 20,000 fans now with FC Cincinnati, 30,000 fans on certain occasions, I think the worry is over time that it's not going to sustain itself. We have a minor league soccer team called the Cincinnati Cyclones, and they still draw decent, but, you know, they kind of become a little middling after drawing some really ridiculous numbers after a while, winning the title. And I just think at some point, you really need to jump to that premier level. You know, you saw it with Rochester this past year. Is, you know, they put great product out on the field, and I think over time, just people lose interest. You see it in Columbus, honestly. You know, they put a great product out in the field. Now there's a bunch of other circumstances, but, you know, even with marketing, they really can't sell out that. So I think if you really attack it in terms of, you know, making it your own, making it about the city, having a strong ownership group, really just kind of buying in, I think if you jump to that major league and really kind of invest in yourself, I think it's going to stay at that top echelon club longer than, say, if you'd stay in USL. It's tough to keep a $1 billion owner interested, I think, over time in USL. But I think if you can get him and, you know, bringing in Ibrahimovic and trying to, you know, look at Arthur Blank, you know, trying to really bring in bigger players, you know, starting the community academy, which they're going to roll out here in Cincinnati. I just think it's probably a smarter investment to go into that top tier league. Now, am I going to miss the local road trips of Pittsburgh, which we took a bus, Cincinnati Soccer Talk took a bus to last year, Louisville, Indianapolis, which I went to 2 weeks ago. I'm going to miss that big time. But I think at some point when you can come and see Ibrahimovic or Bradley or Altidore, I'm all for that. Plus, I think MLS, you know, contrary to a lot of people, I really do think it's going to be continuing to grow over time. I mean, you get guys like Almiron and Yosef Martinez, stuff like that. So, but yeah, that's kind of my side. Plus, the fact that if we can go into our own stadium again, we're not in a college football stadium, which we're borrowing right now. We can't do everything we want to do in Nippert. I think even the supporters groups would say it's not a perfect fit, even though we still pack it out. And I think if we have the opportunity to, you know, we were talking to Jeff Breen on Monday, design our own supporters area, man, I think it's really going to be a special thing, a special community, which is FC Cincinnati.
No, and that's a great answer. I mean, that's one of the things that we've talked about in Pittsburgh. When the Hounds got started, it's almost going to be 20 years ago, their original draw, the numbers were comparable to MLS at that time. And then you sort of see over time, if you don't make the jump, where interests may shift. And now we're in the process of trying to build those numbers back up again. So totally understand that, and totally understand, you know, being able to drive to your local stadium and see people like Zlatan, Altidore. You know, we've talked about how important it is for the Hounds to try to get a big club to come in and play just to draw more people down, get more people interested. So that totally makes sense to me. It was just something from an outsider looking in. It's like, you guys sort of have the aside from not having your own stadium, which it sounds like that's working itself out. Yeah. You guys sort of have like this dream scenario, well, drawing more numbers than many MLS teams.
Sure.
So I was just curious sort of your read on that.
I think a lot of it's the investment. You know, how long is Mr. Lindner going to want to put the money into, you know, a major league style staff, which we have ticketing wise and the marketing that you see around town. And, you know, I think, you know, minor league, you also get that fact that would you rather play, you know, Rochester on the weekend, or would you rather play LA Galaxy? So I think there's different ways to draw in the casual fan that USL might not have. You know, we were watching the game this weekend versus Bethlehem Steel. There's 200 people in that stadium. That's not an exciting environment for us to root against. It's not an exciting environment for our players to be in. And that's just kind of what we're in at USL right now.
Yeah.
Now, hopefully that changes. For USL.
Yeah. No, absolutely. But, you know, even talking to some of the players, like, you know, we just mentioned Kay Banjo, Toby Adewale. They were just on Hugh Roberts' podcast, Backyard Footy, and they were talking about how a lot of people think, or a lot of the players think of USL as a stepping stone, whereas, you know, MLS is sort of the upper echelon here of what you can achieve in America. So yeah, it's that mentality.
Yeah. Now I'll tell you what though, I think USL is one of the best run leagues in the country. I think Jake Edwards has done a lot of right. I know they're figuring out things right now with the ESPN Plus, but I really think that's going to be a net positive for the league.
Yeah. I think the other things that are going to make it interesting is, you know, there was some talk this preseason about the potential for pro rel with D3, some interconference tournaments going on. It will be interesting to see how this landscape continues to grow over the next 5-10 years, including MLS, and just sort of see where things end up. Because I do think we have the landmass, we have the cities, we have the people to just let soccer continue to grow and explode. And I think everybody wants a team. So mm-hmm. Now it's just finding room for them and helping it grow collectively.
Yeah. And I'm not going to throw this person under the bus, but I have a friend that actually played for the Riverhounds, at least 6 years ago. And, he wouldn't taste the USL right now. And it just kind of shows you where the money's going. And I mean, look at your guys' roster. It's phenomenal. Oh,
yeah. I mean, there were guys last year, literally, as soon as the season was over last year, there were some guys that we said, like, these are the number one guys we want back. And they weren't good enough to make this team this year. So it's, yeah. No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I'm looking at the agenda here to see where else we have some crossover. The one thing in particular, and I saw that you were going to ask about this, so I'll sort of preempt it. When you were on the USL show, or when we were both on the USL show, you sort of implied that you thought that the USL may be passing Bob Lilly by. You know, four games into the season, what you've seen thus far in the preseason. I don't know how much of the Hounds you've watched, if at all. So, you know, I don't want to sort of set that up. But do you think that's still the case heading into the weekend?
Well, I'll tell you what, your commentator from when you played Toronto was, I think, ripping off some like 80s rock band lyrics on his goal calls, which was amazing, by the way.
Matt Geica.
There you go. I was cracking up when I watched that. You know, I think the thing about Lily Ball is that Lily Ball adapted this year. And I got to give him credit for that. He's running out different formations. He's becoming more attacking. He's got some quality pieces all over the board. And, you know, he had that in Rochester, too. You know, I'm interested to see what happens when they start playing higher echelon teams like Cincinnati this weekend. I think they're going to let in five goals like Tampa Bay did this weekend? No. No doubt. There's no way because I'm kind of kicking myself right now because I left my notepad at work. But I think you guys left like have only conceded like 211 passes on average per game. And, you know, you conceded 150 successful passes versus Penn, and you conceded 164 successful passes this weekend versus Ottawa. What's that mean? It means you guys are organized. It means Coach Lilly has yelled at them more than enough to get them to do exactly what he wants them to do. And, you know, that's Lily Ball. Conceded zero goals. And it's morphed. And I give him all the credit in the world for not, you know, just packing the bus. I mean, you guys are in a 4-2-3-1. You guys are attacking. You scored four goals. And yet you're still not allowing people to possess the ball and pass. And that's coaching. It's good players, but that's coaching.
It's something that we talked about on our show on Monday. You know, what is Lily Ball? Because it's this term that's been floating around for years. And really, it feels like this year, more than anything, it is discipline and it's just mental. It's team mentality. It's something we haven't seen in Pittsburgh in years, if at all. But everybody understands their role. Nobody's taking any time off. And we've on average over the first four games, we've allowed 1.25 shot on the goal. So like there's this sense of pride, especially coming from Pittsburgh with the Steelers and the Penguins and all of that, the defense first mentality of just feeling confident that when a team comes into your final third, that the odds of them getting a clear shot on goal are slim to none. Again, as you pointed out, we haven't played any sort of the top echelon teams. Nashville is sort of middling there, but we played them the first game of the season.
Yeah, you played them there, and you played that game differently than you played your last three. Yep. So if you look at that, you know, you guys were in, I think, a 3-4-3 or something very similar where you're able to drop five back if you needed to and seek out a draw. I expect that a lot more this weekend. You have to have respect for Coach Lilly. You know, if you might disagree with his style, you might disagree the fact that, you know, there's better players out there. You know, my point was, I think when you bring in the Ledesmas, you bring in the guys you see in Tampa Bay, you see the guys you bring in Nashville who haven't lit the world on fire yet, sadly, but Indianapolis, you see these guys coming in with, you know, just a superior pedigree. You almost think that, you know, they might be able to deconstruct, you know, that a little bit better than it might have had in the USL in the past. But, as I said, you guys have gone out and made some great signings. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit later. Your biggest defensive signing has only, played one game. So, credit to Coach Lilly. I mean, I respect the heck out of him.
And, you know, not to make this a huge love fest or anything, but obviously, Cincy, you guys have been doing a good job this year taking care of business as well. You know, you guys have gotten the points where you needed to get the points. Your only loss was against the Louisville, and Louisville's been on fire. So, you know, can't fault you there. I guess the one thing that stood out to me sort of looking through your stats is that you guys haven't scored more than one goal each game, which, again, you're getting the job done. But is this what you were expecting coming into this season, and what's the fans' reaction to that?
Not at all. And if you follow me on Twitter, especially in the preseason, you probably saw me overreact just a little bit to our offensive struggles. I think that it really hasn't seemed that there's been a plan offensively. We got a lot of great players, but everything offensively has come through moments of individual brilliance, not because of a tactical style that we've been playing. Now, I think over the past two games, you've been seeing that adapt a little bit more. Everybody keeps saying we're crossing, and if you look at if you just look at our stat sheet, you go, oh my god, FC Cincinnati does is cross the ball. It's not necessarily crosses in the box, it's crossing, you know, to switch the point of attack. But I think over the past, especially the last half hour versus Bethlehem, you saw a lot more short passes, you saw a lot more combinations, quick runs, and some really quality buildup, honestly, that has been driven kind of through Richie Ryan and Nazmi Abadawi. So I think it's coming. We always do this expected goals stat from our very own stat guru, Ken Hedker. And this past week was by far our best performance offensively. Honestly, I think that game this weekend probably should have been at least 2-2 or 3-3 maybe, with both teams just missing point blank chances. I think it's getting there. I think with our recent signing of Michael LaHood coming from Miami, signed today, I think he's going to be huge, and that's going to allow Richie Ryan to get in the attack more, versus he's had to clean up a ton of messes, just sitting back there, settling down play, and I think once you do that, you're going to let, you know, we'll talk about this later, you're going to let the playmakers really get involved into the game a little bit more.
And, you know, it's something where, being a Riverhounds fan, you know, we've had some down seasons the past few seasons. We're at the point where I think as fans, it's like, if we're getting points, we're happy getting points. Is it the same thing for you guys where, like, you're getting points, but are you still thinking, like, we're not playing pretty soccer? Like, is that something that goes through your mind?
So Pittsburgh's been around for 20 years, and you've had fans that have been around for that long. You've had kids that have come through the academy, so they have a little bit more of an understanding how the games work, how they flow. And in Cincinnati, we have a lot of new fans. So you have that group there that is like, 3 points, that's wonderful, doesn't matter. That's who I get hate on all the time on social media. But then you have this fan base that's been around for, as I said, going on their third year. They've had a little bit of history. And they're starting to realize, you know, we have some fundamental mistakes that we need to improve on. And I think that just kind of shows the growth of FC Cincinnati as a fan base and as a community. I was making the joke today is, you know, there's several podcasts, there's several websites. You have every local news outlet in the city has a beat writer now. So people are scarfing down FC Cincinnati left and right. And it's, you know, it's awesome because now we have people debating me on social media, which is, I love it. I'd rather have more people talking about it. But yeah, I mean, it's the growth of the club. And, you know, I think we'd all wish that all of our 3 points were pretty, but going down to Charleston and winning 1-0, going to Indy and winning 1-0 were ugly games. It looked like we were outplayed. But man, I'll tell you what, I love having those 6 points after those first two matches.
Yep. Yeah, no, totally. I cannot disagree with that at all.
Well,
so go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we can jump into the preview, or we can...
Yeah, let's do it. All right. Let's jump into the preview.
So I've been pretty excited about this game because I feel like it's been... This is going to kind of be a barometer game for both clubs because FC Cincinnati, we've kind of run the gambit through the first four games. You know, Bethlehem Steel this past week, you never know what you're going to get there because of their Philadelphia Union loanies. We had like 7 guys play against us this past weekend, and they played us pretty well. Mm-hmm. And this week, you know, it's an independent club. You guys are, 8 points through 4 games, two draws, 2 wins. Sitting in 5th place, and we knew that this was going to be kind of a big circle the calendar match, because, you know, if we were coming out of our first 4 games, you know, looking rough or looking great, this is one more time to really prove, hey, we can go out and beat good quality clubs, because we know you guys are always going to be organized with the Bob Lilly style and everything out there, plus you have a great crop of new players. So we've been real excited as a fan base. You know, there's been talk all week of the Orange Out. You know, we're going to have a big crowd, I think, in Nippert Stadium on Saturday. So I guess my, you know, kind of going into this whole thing is, what's the confidence level been on the opposite side of the coin with Pittsburgh?
I think that, you know, if you talk to the players, you talk to Coach, I think one of the things that's most interesting about watching Coach Lilly is, and I've said this sort of on the show, is watching the game within the game. I think this is the first time as fans, at least in the past few years, where you can sit back and you know that if something isn't working in a game, Lilly's got something else he's going to try. And then he's got something else he's going to try where, you know, in the last game when we played against Ottawa, you know, basically Ottawa was just packing their box. We were getting passes in their final third. Every time a player would turn around, they didn't have any clear shooting lanes. So they're just knocking it around because they literally just packed it in. You see Lilly start yelling at the players on the field. And all of a sudden we start dropping back more, letting Ottawa step into us. And we start playing long balls over the top into more open space and letting our guys run. So I think knowing that there are different systems that we could play, knowing that, you know, there are different players that Coach can call from the bench. I know you guys have a crazy deep team. This is probably the deepest team that we've seen Pittsburgh have in years as well. I think the confidence level from at least the fans' perspective coming into this game is probably at an all-time high. Because, you know, at least in my mind, if nothing else, I know that Lilly can say, okay, let's just sort of pull it back a little bit and try to suck all the energy out of the stadium and then see what happens from there, which we couldn't do that in previous years. It was literally, well, you know, there was no question. This is your starting 11. You have like one guy you can rely on coming off the bench. And that's what we have. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that's not the case this year. If something isn't working, you're going to start to see stuff shifting and just trying to, you know, you mentioned sort of having that maturity as a fan, being around the game for a while, being able to watch that and understand what's going on is almost as fun as watching the game itself. So I think, you know, at least from a fan perspective, and I think from a player's perspective as well, the players are always jacked up to come in and play at Nippert because of this, the atmosphere. We've talked to guys who played there last year and they said it was insane and they love it. I think confidence is pretty good right now coming into the game.
So, you know, you're feeling good. You know, we kind of know how Pittsburgh's been run, you know, over the past couple of years, and now it's, of course, run under Coach Bob Lilly. You know, what has been the strength? You know, is it going to be, you know, we've seen you guys put up four goals. We've seen you guys concede none. You know, what's going to be the key for Pittsburgh this season?
I mean, I think, you know, if you ask Lilly himself, which we have, if, you know, you say you like building teams that are defense first mentality, he'll always disagree with you on that. But I think that if you look at some of the numbers over the past few years, I know there was some discussion. Pony on Twitter was throwing out some numbers about time between goals. I think that the strength this season is still going to be defense. But I think it's less of drilling in a defensive mentality into the players, and it's more of the discipline that I mentioned earlier, where they're extremely disciplined in the back. You mentioned the four goals. They're getting chances left and right, and I think that's probably one of the biggest frustrations and one of the biggest weaknesses at this point is the fact that we haven't been putting away more of those chances. I think that's something that will come. But I think from a fan's perspective, like I said, we go into games, at least, you know, these first four, having full confidence in our defense and our holding midfielders to just sort of clean everything up and keep chances down. And when you're asking your keeper to make, you know, one, two saves a game, that's where our strength is at this point, is just keeping shots off the goal. And then, like I said, on the flip side, there's a lot of action going out front in the attack, but actually connecting on some of them. You know, the Penn FC game, we should have won 4-0. But there was literally four sitters that we missed. And so I think just fine-tuning those things and getting the connection going, I think that's an area where the team can improve. And that's where I think that, you know, Cincinnati could have some success this weekend is in limiting and breaking up some of those offensive chances.
Now, what kind of players, you know, we've brought in a lot of new players over the past, you've brought in a lot of new players over the past year. You know, what's the guys that Coach Lilly is going to rely on, and especially this weekend?
Yeah, so the first one is Cristiano Francois, a.k.a. the Cheetah. He played with Lilly in Rochester last year. He is our right winger, basically. He'll play in the midfield, depending on the formation, or he'll play up front. But he is a speedy outside guy, and he will make runs down the line to free up space in the middle, or he will cut inside and go straight at goal. I think the USL released, I don't know what they call it, but it was like top five plays or individual moves or something like that just today. And if you look at that video, Francois was number one. He sort of did a bit of an ankle breaker and just cut to the outside. He's been one that we've been really excited to watch. So he's one you're going to want to keep an eye out for, like I said, on the right side. Nico Brett is who is filling it at forward at this point. We had Romeo Parks in at forward, and then he is now in a boot. I think it was an ankle injury. But Nico came in, started his very first game, and he got a hat trick. Obviously, in the last game, he did not score, but he's consistently making runs into the right channels and drawing defenders off of the midfielders. So he's, if we play with a lone striker, he's likely going to be the lone striker, and he has the potential to score at any point. And then I guess the third one that I'll mention is Ben Zemanski, who we picked up late in the preseason. He formerly played with Portland Timbers. He played sort of a holding midfielder position in the most recent game against Ottawa. And I made the joke online that he looked like a 10-year-old who was told he'd be taking the Pizza Hut if he played well. He was just all over the field. Yeah. And he's always in there mixing it up. There was a bit of a wrestling match at one point, and he was right there in the middle of it. He's sort of that hard-nosed, doesn't want to lose the ball, and has sort of the vision to keep the play going and slow things down and speed things up. So I think, you know, we'll see. Zemanski has started the past two games, seen time in three. But Lily's constantly changing things depending upon who the opponent is. If I was a gambling person, I would say that Francois, Brett, and Zemanski will all get the start this weekend, and those are the ones that you guys should keep an eye out for.
Now, there's been a name that I've seen, Van Kiezel, something.
Van Kiezel, Thomas Van Kiezel, yes. He is a rookie this season, and he started the first game against Nashville. He played at holding midfield. In the past few games, he's played as sort of our number 10, which he's not, it doesn't feel like he's a natural number 10, but the guy wins a lot of second balls, and he's sort of all over the place. He's an exciting player to watch. We say he's not a pure number 10 just because he sort of lacks that that vision and sort of that finishing touch to drop a ball exactly where you want it to be that you expect from a number 10. But he showed some promise, especially as a rookie. I think we only have two rookies on the team this year, which, again, huge change from last season. He showed some flair these first few games.
Now with FC Cincinnati, you know, this is kind of what I've been pretty excited about this year is all these new faces, how they're going to work, how they're going to kind of play off each other. And we've had some hiccups through the first, you know, four games and into the preseason. But of course, what we saw today with FC Cincinnati signing Michael Lahoud from Miami FC is you bring in another central midfielder to complement the already great core of central midfielders. But I think he's going to offer something a little bit different. I'm not sure if we're going to see him this weekend, but I'd love to see him paired up back against his former midfield partner, Richie Ryan, this weekend. So I think kind of the keys for FC Cincinnati in terms of the players this weekend is you're going to need Richie Ryan, who, he's probably not as known really well to the USL crowd as the former NASL crowd, but this is a guy who's the deeper lying playmaker, but he's strong defensively, and he has that vision where, you know, the ball might be bouncing around and he just comes out of nowhere, picks it up and just releases a counter. And I think they're really going to need that this weekend to get Pittsburgh caught on the back foot, because, you know, they're so organized. Pittsburgh's so organized that I think you might see the best scoring chance of the evening on a counter. Now, on, you know, who's going to receive the counter? I think it could be, you know, Emmanuel Ledesma out on that right wing. This is a guy who just tore it up last year in NASL with the Cosmos. I think he was the second leading scorer in the league in NASL last year. He hasn't gotten off on the snide yet this year for FC Cincinnati. He's had an assist, but he hasn't had that goal yet. And you can tell he's searching for it. He's taking some distant shots. But he's pacey, and I think if he can, you know, allow the central midfielders to dictate the game versus having to worry about, you know, finding the target up front, having to find, you know, who's the right outlet, I think he'll be the guy that kind of gets the game going for FC Cincinnati. And then we had the coaches show this evening. for FC Cincinnati with Coach Alan Koch, and he alluded to potentially having Naz Al-Badawi, or Al-Badawi. If I always had this joke, I'm going to say his name wrong 100 times this year. He's the big signing that we had in this offseason, but he finally played his first game of the season this past weekend in Bethlehem Steel, and you could tell his presence right away. He could have had 2 or 3 goals on the weekend, and of course he had the one, which was good enough for the draw, but you know, he's been coming into the games. He's been, you know, getting the ball forward. Our previous kind of number 10 role, Corbin Bone, everybody was a little upset with him. Yeah, he kept possession. I think, he, you know, 90% passing, but he wasn't getting the ball forward. Only 20% of his passes are forward, where Naz, is what we like to call him, has had over 35% of his passes forward. Of course, it's only one game, but this is a guy that really wants to move the ball towards goal. And that's what we've been really excited to see with FC Cincinnati. Of course, Corbin Bone could go up there, and I think he's been every game he's played in that role, he's had one moment where you're just like, holy cow, you know, why is he not at a different level? And this is a guy who's been around the block for, you know, MLS, USL. So whoever kind of sits in that role between Naz or Corbin, I think is going to have to step up and unlock that really, really tough Pittsburgh defense. So now, Mike, what's Pittsburgh really need to do this weekend to make sure they get in, you know, the 3 points on the weekend?
I mean, I think that, you know, I alluded to it a little bit earlier. I think sort of come in the first 15 minutes, and I don't want to say weather the storm, but sort of feel out what's going on in Nippert. Because, again, you know, you guys are going to have the orange out. Everybody's going to be all jacked up. And I think Lily's got to get them just, like, settle down and play your game. So I think you're going to see... It, from a tactical standpoint, watching the game, it's going to be very interesting to sort of break it up into chunks and see what happens in the first 15, what happens in the next 30, and then what happens, you know, in the remaining 15 after that. Because I think that the Hounds are going to have to continue to be disciplined. I don't think that, you know, even against Nashville, they had a ton of chances to score, but I think that they're not going to be chasing goals early. I think they're going to try to settle it down. They're going to try to keep possession. And try to disrupt Cincy. I think if they can do that early, I don't want to say sort of get in Cincy's head, because again, you guys have won a lot of 1-0 games. So this isn't like, you know, keeping you off the score sheet for the first half is going to do anything to you.
Getting into the crowd's head more so than getting into the team's head.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that, you know, just trying to keep things quiet. I think as long as we play disciplined, you know, so as long as we limit chances, you know, again, if we're only giving up 2, even 3 chances to you guys, that sort of plays in our favor. And then if we can just capitalize on the attack and, you know, maybe put in 1 or 2 of the chances that we get, I think that we fare a decent shot at coming out, you know, with a win in a close game here. What are your thoughts about Cincy? How does Cincy win this one?
Well, once we figure it out, I think it's going to be good. And, you know, I hope this is the game we figure it out. But against that stout defense, I'm not sure they will. But really, it's just getting that ball forward quick, not letting Pittsburgh get their defense set up. And if you can put Pittsburgh, you know, going back forwards, you have a Pacey forward and Emery Welshman. You got either Lance Lang, Jimmy McLaughlin, or Haber on the left. You got Ledesma on the right. I mean, if you can just kind of get those defenders with their backs turned, I think that's really the way you're going to have to beat Pittsburgh this year, or at least for the first part of the year until FC Cincinnati can really get their foot together in terms of creating chances, you know, with teams being able to set up. So I think you're probably going to see FC Cincinnati try to go with the possession game and, you know, out-pass, out-possess Pittsburgh. It's not something that Pittsburgh's really allowed to happen very much. But I think, you know, if FC Cincinnati can get that tiki-taka, kind of those, you know, those quick touch passes going, I think that's going to prove, I think, pretty good for FC Cincinnati. There's a lot of really talented guys, and even if Pittsburgh does get there, defense set up, as long as we're not hoofing long balls in, I really think FC Cincinnati has a shot, just because, you know, I might be snobby here, but I really think our players are the top group in the league in terms of talent wise. You just see it with, you know, the pedigrees they have. So if they can do that and at least just kind of get them into space to have, you know, kind of what you said, just get a little bit more shots, I think that's a chance for FC Cincinnati. I'm not predicting a high scoring game, you know, not at all. We've never, I don't know if we've ever beaten Bob Lilly. I think we might have got 1 point against him. I don't even know if that's true. So it's going to be a tough game. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it's an 0-0 score. Just, you know, that's just how I think both teams are strong defensively. And they're both still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, and I know we're going to get into predictions here in a minute, I guess. The one thing that I will say for Cincy is if you can generate a lot of scoring chances, you'll probably have a better shot just because we haven't really seen our keepers get tested. Mm-hmm. And they haven't had, coming into the season, we were a little bit concerned because of their lack of star experience across the board. But, you know, the few shots that they've had to face thus far, they've looked really good, but we just haven't seen them tested. So if you could test them, mm-hmm. You know, that might be where you get a chance.
I think FC Cincinnati's wanting to really come out because they had two really tough games. You know, the loss at home versus Louisville and then the draw on the road versus Bethlehem Steel. I think they're really, you know, there's that mentality there. Coach Koch was talking about it this past week with, you know, they really were a little shell-shocked coming out in front of 25,000 fans and kind of laying a stinker. And I think they're ready to come out. You know, you just keep hearing, you keep hearing them, keep seeing the social media out there with the players. So I'm pretty excited. You know, this might, of course, be the great week to play Pittsburgh and send a message, but it also might be the wrong week to play Pittsburgh because we're still trying to figure it out. But, you know, predictions, you know, we have a Growler Cup that we do every week with our hosts and our donors on the show, our supporters. And you get in a big contest throughout the whole year, and you can win some prizes at the end of the year. Basically, we predict the score. If you get the score right, if you get the points FC Cincinnati is going to score, you get I think 1 point. You get 1 point if you get the points for the opponent, and then you get 3 points if you get the whole score correct. So it's a total of 5 points, I believe. So last week I was lucky. I predicted the 1-1 score line, so that was pretty good for me in this thing. But you know, I'll kind of let you go here second because I don't want to, you know, force you to do anything. But I think it's going to be an FC Cincinnati win. This is my first time I'm predicting FC Cincinnati to win this season. I saw a lot that I liked this past weekend. Was it a great end result? No, but you see those moments of brilliance that I think are coming. And it's going to be tough for Slilly, but you know, I think they're very, very close, especially if Nas plays. So I'm going to go 1-0, low scoring game.
See, now I'm torn because I think earlier this week I was thinking going into Nippert and I think coming out with a 0-0 draw.
Sure.
I would be okay with that. But, you know, sort of as today wore on, I started to think like, well, you know, looking at what's been going on, going back, watching some tape of Cincy, you know, I'm starting to think maybe it'll be like 1-0, 2-0 Hounds. But now even talking to you, I've sort of talked myself into, you know, we went back and forth on Twitter a little bit where I said, I think that in reality, the Hounds may not give up a goal until mid-May. So well, I'll take that bet for this game. So, you know, all of this talk of you guys getting going and me sort of talking myself into the whole keeper situation, I'm going to say 2-1 Hounds, which I can't believe I'm saying because just a few days ago, I was like 0-0. Well, so,
last week, yeah. we could have given up 3. So I wouldn't put it by them. I still think they're figuring it out, but I think I've said figuring it out 18 times on this
pod. It's early.
It is very early, and we're almost like an expansion team, honestly. I mean, we brought back 9 guys. We shipped 2 of those guys out this past week. So, and how many of those guys have actually played? So it's a whole new team, just like Pittsburgh, except you guys have conceded nothing. So that's impressive. I can't wait to see your guys' jerseys. I hope you wear your dark jerseys this weekend. I know you probably won't because we play in blue and orange at home. But those are killer kits.
The fans are really into the black ones, but apparently the team isn't going to release those until later this summer.
Really?
So you'll probably either see the gold ones with the stripes, or we haven't seen the white ones yet. The white ones, I really like the white one, but yeah, we'll see.
Very cool. Well, guys, I think that's it on my side. Yeah, you can find me at Brian, Bryan Weigel, Weigel on Twitter. Of course, Cincy Soccer Talk, Cincy Soccer Talk on Twitter as well, Cincinnati Soccer Talk. And if you really do want to check us out on Monday nights, our normal shows that we broadcast on Facebook and YouTube, it's you know, Facebook or YouTube.com/Cincinnati Soccer Talk. So come check us out if you haven't, and you know, hopefully we can do this, you know, again this season.
Yeah, absolutely, man. This is, it's always a good time talking to you. Sure. So we will absolutely do this again the next time we play. I can't even remember. Do we play you one time or?
I think we play twice. That's a good question. I got to check that out. Because I feel like we play each other three times. But
yeah, I think this was the team this year that we played three times. So I'll have to pull that up. But
I can just reach up here and look at my schedule. Hold on one second here, if you all can bear with me. Well, I think. Oh, no! What's horrible is on our season tickets we have the Hound old logo. So,
well, they did release. They released the new one pretty late.
Yeah. So we do actually play you twice at home this year. So we'll be two more times, hopefully.
Yeah, and I think we get you guys late. Yeah, probably second right. Last game of the season.
Yikes!
High mark. So that'll be fun.
Cold then. Yeah.
Come on, man. You're from Cincy. You can't complain about the cold.
Yeah, it hasn't gotten warm yet. Actually, today might have been 65, so that was all right. So, all right, well, you know, of course, you know, we can check you guys out at Mongols. You know, BGN, Roughneck Scarves, got to do all the quick hits in case you're listening out there. Beautiful Game Network is it's a pretty cool group. So I love talking to all you guys almost every week because that's pretty much what all my guests are on this show. So
well, we appreciate it. And, you know, anytime you guys want to come play in our sandbox, you just let us know because we'd be happy to have you. But, yeah, thanks, man. This is fun.